You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Wednesday, 11 November. I'm Simon Brown coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, we chat with Preston Aramsamy on markets. The vaccine rally is holding, but I'm interested in that telecom results, the update from Sun International Banks. Banks are looking really strong. We're chatting with Guy Leash from Comair. Back into the air, Lyft airline taking off next month. What about SA Express? What about SAA? Suddenly, we got airlines galore. And then Stefan Engelbrecht from Anchor on better than expected SA retail updates. MoneyWeb Now brought to you by Orbvest, a global real estate company that has a hyper focus on acquiring stable income producing medical buildings in the USA. Investors use our online platform to invest directly into low risk commercial real estate, primarily in the healthcare niche in the USA, from as little as $5,000. Some morning headlines from MoneyWeb. Total's second major gas find puts SA on the global energy map. And from CNBC, remote work is here to stay, even with the vaccine, says former IBM CEO. Morning markets at US red overnight. S&P down just a little off 0.1%. NASDAQ down 1.4%. Asia green, Sydney up 1.6%, and Tokyo up 1.8%. Commodities green, gold the exception, 1878. Rand 1556 against the US dollar. And top 40 opening core, a red open, but down only 0.2%.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Preston Aramsamy. He's a portfolio manager at Nedbank Private Wealth. Preston, morning. Appreciate your time. Telkom, I'm going to be honest, Telkom's got me a bit confused. The market really liked the trading update earlier in the week, or last week rather. Results came out yesterday, and the market wasn't so impressed with their results. I mean, your take on Telkom as a potential investment?
Morning, Simon. Really good to be on the show today. Simon, looked at the result. You know, their HEPS was up 25%. You know, a decent result. Their active mobile subscribers up nicely, 19% or so. And, you know, revenue really surging, particularly in the mobile, business. Data traffic's really picked up properly. But, you know, Simon, obviously that fixed line business has been under pressure for a very long time, with usage continuing to decline there. And I mean, you know, Simon, the cash generation on the results, you know, it was really solid, but a lot of that came from reduction in CapEx. And I guess, the market a little bit uncomfortable as well, Simon, because there's still a lot of uncertainty with respect to the dividend. So I think, Simon, you know, even if you look at, you know, the likes of MTN and Vodacom, they were up. So it wasn't that rotation trade that kind of happened, you know, into the more value stocks out of the growth stocks. Mm-hmm. You know, the share price was literally down and the market, you know, really, really didn't like it all that much. So I think there's pressure there, that fixed line business is under pressure. And, you know, Simon, they are a smaller operator and the PE is relatively demanding when you compare it to the likes of an MTN or a Vodacom.
Yeah, and I particularly like your point around cash generation. I mean, there was cash, but it's a bit of a sleight of hand when you just stop doing CapEx, because, of course, telcos are massive CapEx spenders. Sun International update, tough in parts, less than others. The casino's better than I thought. Hotels not still obviously struggling. Oddly enough, Sun International, which I thought wasn't a bad update, that stock didn't do much. Soho Sun obviously did a lot better. The investors obviously looking at that casino component and saying something seems to be happening here. The punters are back.
Yeah, agreed, Simon. You know, I thought the trading updates in general, you know, they were decent, but I think it was more around how tough it's been during the lockdown. And I think those, you know, those big moves in the share price yesterday is, you know, still because of this rotation trade. Hey?
Yeah.
The casino gambling component kind of improving. I think the move into level one has really helped the hotels big time. But Simon, there's a long way to go. Yeah. Hey, even if you, the hotel industry is under proper pressure. And I think, there's just some bargain hunting yesterday. And even if you look at the property counters that operate in the sector, the likes of Hospitality Property Fund and City Lodge, they were up hugely yesterday. So 25% and 30% each. So yeah, Simon, I'm not too excited as yet. There's still a long way to go. These counters still have a lot of debt. And, you know, they're still down 70% year to date. And they still might need to raise funds, you know, given the fact that, you know, there's still some COVID uncertainty and, you know, restrictions are still on the cards.
Yeah, I agree. And the hotels, I mean, we look at City Lodge and their last update. Gaming might be returning a bit, but the hotel occupancies are not returning. The last one is banks. I mean, banks just generally, I've just had a quick squiz at our sort of top five. Four of them looking really, really strong, breaking higher. Absa, the lagger there. This really is, I suspect, you know, we can see it from the timelines. News of the vaccine really has got banks excited. The valuations have been really cheap. Is this the break higher? Is this something you'll be buying into, or are you still a little cautious here?
You know, Simon, yeah, global banks did nicely yesterday as well. Hey, if you look at Citibank, was up properly. So yeah, Simon, I think our South African banks, again, you know, they're coming off a very low base. They're very well capitalized. There is, you know, there's still that uncertainty around credit impairments going forward.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are structural issues, you know, that COVID's kind of brought, you know, in terms of unemployment, bankruptcies and delinquencies. But Simon, if you just look at, you know, these PEs, they're still very attractive. They're, you know, 7, 8, 9 times the PEs. And I know, you know, at the peak of the sell-off, these counters were trading at like, you know, 0.5 times price to book. Now they're at 0.6, 0.7, and these used to trade at massive premiums a year or two ago. So Simon, I think that there's long-term value in here, although there could be, you know, short-term the volatility on the share prices, as, you know, given, you know, there's still a lot of uncertainty. But I definitely think, given where our South African counters are trading, there's still long-term value here, Simon.
Yeah, and that's certainly my sense. I think the value, the volatility, I agree with you, not going to disappear in a hurry, but certainly we are seeing, we've seen the market move into it, and it's been a while. And looking at the banking index, it certainly has broken higher on that move from Tuesday, and then, of course, Monday, and then yesterday's move. We'll leave that there. Preston Narumsamy, Portfolio Manager, Nedbank Private Wealth. Sir, appreciate the time this morning.
MoneyWeb now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Guy Leach. He's editor of SA Flyer. One of the weirder things perhaps that's happening in our pandemic, and I appreciate that there is now vaccine talk, is suddenly airlines are coming back to our market. We've got a new airline, Lyft, launching next month. Comair with their Kalula brand is returning to market after a business rescue. Guy, morning. Appreciate your time. When we first spoke, which was back in sort of mid-May, as airlines were in hard lockdown, and as airlines and going into business rescue, Comair, SA Express, SAA, and so the list went on. That kind of made sense. Launching in a pandemic, reopening, are they, you know, I'm scratching my head here. Am I missing something that the airline industry is perhaps seeing in terms of demand going forward?
Yeah, hi, nice to be with you. Well, of course, you know, you need an entrepreneur with an incredibly brave vision, and that we have in Gideon Novick, who's launching Lyft. It takes real courage to, you know, to be buying when everyone's crying. And it needs to be said, though, that the model is good. You know, he knows his business. He was one of the founders of the Kalula brand under Comair. He understands what we call in the industry the low-cost carrier model. He's probably bringing some, I spoke to him yesterday, he's bringing some relatively interesting and fresh innovations to the model, which I think will certainly give the entrenched competitors, particularly FlySat Air, a run for their money. I mean, we need to understand that the local market is pretty much getting back into where it was before. By that, I mean the domestic market, particularly that fine between Joburg, Cape Town and Durban, the so-called Golden Triangle.
Yeah.
And as he was reminded us yesterday, Gideon, that, you know, the Joburg, Cape Town route is the 12th most busy route in the world. So there's a huge amount of capacity to absorb in that route. He's got an interesting business model. Initially, we all thought he was going to come in and compete on price.
Because yeah.
When he initially announced it, he said that no, all the airlines get fatter over time. Even FlySat Air, which runs a notoriously tight operation, And with the price of aircraft being absolutely giveaway and pilots begging for jobs and cabin crew and so on, you know, it was in theory possible to start an airline off a very low cost base. And he was saying that he would be able to operate off a cost base 30% lower than the next cheapest competitor. His model has evolved a bit or changed. One of the reasons is because he's entered into a what we call a wet lease arrangement with Global, who are supplying him the aircraft, Airbus A320s, which is what SAA is, mm-hmm. and which is interestingly enough what his competitors in FlySat Air and Comet Galileo and Mango don't use. One of the advantages of the A320 is that it is fractionally wider than a 737, and thus the seats are about an inch wider, which is quite nice. And at the same time, his cost base is not going to be as cheap as he hoped it would be by owning his aircraft outright. Obviously, he's now leasing aircraft and crews and maintenance and insurance and all that sort of stuff, which means that he's now wanting to differentiate himself in terms of being flexible. He says that if people are going to come back to flying in the COVID era, what they want is the ability to cancel and change their flights around as circumstances change. So that's really what his model is moving to. He's now offering pretty much, there will be free changes, unlike all the other airlines, which charge you an arm and a leg to change a booking. I think that's going to be a major differentiator.
I take your point there. I mean, that's two innovations. The one is, I hadn't thought about it, but of course, buying airplanes right now is dirt cheap, and so is cabin crew and the like. And then come the price battle is important, but perhaps that's an older battle in a sense. We've also got Comair, and I don't know when SAA is back or SAA Express, but we're certainly going to see a fair bunch of extra capacity coming on. And you're point that you made, I mean, South Africans are travelling internally. I mean, not going to London anymore for holidays, certainly not during the pandemic, not during that lockdown, which means there's probably going to be some decent demand over that holiday period. And truthfully, the extra seats are probably going to be taken up.
Very much so. As you say, because passengers aren't travelling internationally, I think a lot more are going to travel locally. And we've seen something of a price war already. It's actually remarkable how cheap it is to fly Joburg, Durban, or Joburg, Cape Town, on any of the established carriers. Now, they're pushing hard to get bums back on seats to make flying attractive again. Obviously, I think that ticket prices are going to go up once the capacity starts filling. But for now, it is a buyer's market still. But it's great that he's launching before the Christmas season. And I think that, quite frankly, if I was Alma Conradi at Flight Safe, I'd be keeping a very close eye on this new upstart. Also, it's worth noting that at this stage, we're only expecting SAA to get back in the air after Christmas, so it'll be January at the earliest. I'm not expecting SAA Express to get back in the air at all. But in the meanwhile, Airlink, Roger Foster's privately owned airline, has been doing very well reaching out on the longer routes, which it didn't service in the past. So there's plenty of capacity for Lyft to take up, and especially when people start travelling for Christmas.
Yeah, okay. And those two points are telling. If SAA is only back in Jan and SAA Express not returning, then frankly, we need some capacity. So that is important. Galich, editor, SAA Flyer. So always appreciate your time.
You've worked hard to accumulate wealth, but with these uncertain times, how can you preserve and grow your wealth in a safer place? Offshore, while earning regular quarterly dividends in US dollars. The solution is here. Hundreds of investors from across South Africa are investing in specialized medical real estate in the USA, sourced by a highly skilled team who make it easy for you. Orbvest SA, an authorized FSP. Visit orbvest.com.
MoneyWeb now, on the money.
Chatting now with Stefan Engelbrecht. He's a portfolio manager at Anchor Capital. Stefan, morning. Appreciate your time. Last week, we saw bunches of updates and results coming out of sort of SA retailers, Dis-Chem, Fashini, Mr. Price, Truers. The sense is, and you wrote a note on this, that actually the numbers coming out, considering that they cover the hard lockdown and even the tail into the softer lockdown, those numbers weren't bad, all things considered. They were down pretty much across the board, but better than expected.
Hi, good morning, Simon, and thank you very much for the time to chat to me today. Yes, absolutely. That's definitely the theme that's been coming through. I think the people has been expecting the worst. I mean, we also have to see that in context, is that, as you mentioned, these numbers came out or covered a period when consumers were locked down. Mm-hmm. A lot of people lost their jobs. So the expectations from the market were very low for all of these retailers. And, yeah, the South African consumer definitely far more resilient than a lot of people expected.
Yeah, a resilient consumer, that's most definitely. And obviously when we came out of hard lockdown, there was a fair amount of pent-up demand. My other sense of the coin, and maybe you disagree with me on this one, is that we have across our retail space, and to varying degrees, but broadly, we have really good management teams as well.
Oh, definitely. And that is what we can definitely see in the expense and the inventory management. I think one of the key things that people were very worried about was the GP margin, the gross mm-hmm. profit margin, as these retailers had to adjust their inventory management to a lockdown. I mean, there's no way that they could have expected to be closed down for 4 to 5 weeks. And people expected severe sales to come on through as they tried to clear the stock. But they managed it incredibly well, and even though they did take pressure there, it's nowhere near as bad as I think the market expected.
Yeah, and that again, it comes back to the quality of the management. The inventory levels were good. The margins, they got a bit squashed, but broadly they held up. Were there standouts for you from the four we mentioned? I mean, does one or two of them sort of stand head and shoulders above the rest that you would be putting in a portfolio or on a watch list?
Yeah, I definitely think the one thing we did see is, I mean, we expected the consumer to be under pressure. They weren't as much under pressure as we expected. But the one trend we did see was how the consumers across the board, higher Alizen, lower Alizen, they are trying to find value. So higher item prices, those are just not where the consumer wants to be. They also are not interested in credit. They are buying with cash, and they're buying value or perceived value items. So that's the only spectrum we're trying to look for. So Mr. Price, with a very strong balance sheet, I thought their update was incredibly resilient. And then for those who are a little bit more risky, PetStores, I also thought, had a very strong update. I'm looking forward to their results that I think next week or the week mm-hmm. after. But their balance sheet is a little bit more under pressure. The reason why we prefer Mr. Price is just because it's got so much cash on their balance sheet at this stage, and it just gives them so much flexibility and decision.
Yeah.
And then the final one is Fresini with the acquisition of Jet. I just think that it's an absolute steal that they were able to get out of the Edcon business rescue, and I think it's a very good fit and going to help them quite a bit on earnings growth going forward.
Yeah, I quickly touch on that, Fresini. I mean, I agree with you on that Jet acquisition. It takes them into a slightly different LSM market, but what it does is it gives them immediate presence. They don't need to build it up, and if I remember that deal correctly, they're kind of buying it at below, I think, what the inventory levels are. I mean, that must be one of the steals of the pandemic.
Yeah, I mean, they were able to adjust the sales price for the inventory levels that they were able to clear, and I'm not actually quite sure how they will account for that, but mm-hmm. the inventory levels, the inventory that they received from Jet is actually selling better than the management expected, so there may be a bit of a bargain purchase mm-hmm. In the future accounts of Fresini. But yes, as you mentioned, they get 382 stores. According to Fresini management, all 382 stores are profitable at these levels.
Yeah.
So it's immediately contributing to the bottom line. And I think it was just an incredible transaction that they were able to pull off.
Yeah, I agreed on that. It really, really was. And it positions them. They've always been a good operator. This gives them an entire new avenue to operate. And Stefan Engelbrecht, he's a portfolio manager at Anchor Capital. Appreciate your time this morning. This show is brought to you by Orbvest's latest investment opportunity, Medical 29. It's a multi-tenanted Class A medical office building located in Phoenix, Arizona. For more information, visit orbvest.com. Orbvest SA, authorized FSP license number 41690. That's it for today. You'll find us live every weekday morning at 6:30 a.m. on the MoneyWeb website and the app. Podcast available wherever you get great podcasts. That available from 7 a.m. Massive thanks to my team, Eddie and Cordura, this morning. To you for listening, my guests for their early morning contribution. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.